Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tee Clinic. Men's Tee Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. Five DFW locations with North Frisco, Eldorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEE or visit mensteeclinic.com.
Here we go. Hour number three, G-Bag Nation 105 through the fan. We're about an hour and 40 minutes from Rangers pregame. They're going to visit the Braves tonight. If you remember last year's series at the Globe, as I do so well, you might remember the Braves took 2 of 3 from the Rangers last year, including 12 zip in the series finale, as I recall that off the top of my head. Cody Bradford debuted, got rocked.
Yeah.
You've had some success against them last year, but now you're in their house and hoping to return the favor. And you know how the Rangers do on the road against World Series contenders, Brian.
They don't lose.
Nope, they don't. So it should be an epic series. And again, the pregame's coming up at about 5:45 there. And it's we're going to have Eric Nadell on at 5:20. Okay, so there won't be what you're drinking and what you're thinking today. We'll resume that glory next week. It's time now for a proper round tripper. Let's go around the bases, brought to you by Uber Eats. And we start with this Corey Seager article by Tim Kirkchen, ESPN. Seager's left-handed swing is gorgeous, rhythmic, elegant. It's an aesthetic marvel. It's art rooted in its science. Seager's a baseball engineer, writes Timmy, building complex processes on the fly. Every movement has meaning. And the end product, the swing, is a one-man symphony. And yet, Seager lives with perpetual anxiety, worrying that all of the time and effort and energy he devotes to his swing could desert him at the most inopportune moment. For all the offense his swing produces, it exists equally as a defense mechanism. Seager's infatuation is also his torment. He's like a dang near a mad scientist. And I don't know if he's a sympathetic figure. You tell me. He's obviously on top of the world, but there's a lot of insecurity. I don't know if this is healthy, Brian. He says, the fear of failure. Failure definitely drives me more than anything else. It's a great story. I would suggest anybody go and read it, all Rangers fans, just to understand him more. You know, he's always been a quiet guy, and you're wondering, like, man, what's going on in there? And I think it's complete obsession with his next AB. And on top of that, it's almost a constant obsession with the angles of his swing. He's constantly in the mirror, and before every at-bat, when he knows he's about to come up or get in the hole or whatever, he goes down the tunnel and gets in front of a mirror where he can look for all of these indicators as he's going through his swing and trying to, you know, hit the perfect points that'll give him the best opportunity to get a hit against this guy.
I love that he said, like, in every ballpark in the sport, he knows exactly where the mirror is to go to before every at bat. So somewhere every ballpark's got a mirror that Corey Seager is very familiar with.
Yeah. And they compare him to like Kobe and Tom Brady with work ethic and grinder mentality. So it's important to note that not many players can obsess like this and sort of maintain a level performance consistently. It would drive most players mad.
Can I throw a theory out there about him from what you just said?
Sure.
He swings at a lot of first pitches, right?
Mm-hmm.
Do you think he has anxiety about being at the plate?
100%.
And wants to get it over with? You don't understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And I'm just throwing
it out.
That
mimics his social patterns.
I'm just throwing it out there that he is so anxious that he's not interested in being like Carter or any of those other guys that just take a bunch of pitches. It's such anxiety for him to be at the plate, the strive for perfection.
There's a passage in there where he's talking about how it's misery to be in the batter's box.
I wonder if the way he attacks first pitches is like, I'm going to get a hit, and I'm going down to first base.
You know,
I don't have to stand here any longer than I have to.
You know, listening to his wife or reading his wife's quotes in this story, you can tell that's how he is socially. And she had to ultimately convince him, like, look, Corey, we're going to go out and people are going to approach you.
Yeah.
And it's going to be fine. Okay. You're going to get through these social interactions. But I think there is a ton of anxiety, you know, yeah. almost to the point of possibly being a disorder of some kind. But he processes it and manifests it into absolute sports genius.
It is.
Yeah.
It's a beautiful swing. And it's so, and you could tell it's so, cause I watch him, you know, from the center field camera shots, and you could see as soon as the pitcher gets the ball or say he fouls one off, he's standing there ready again. He doesn't fidget with his batting gloves, excuse me, or pull on the corner of his shirt. He literally fouls the ball off and stands there and staring at the pitcher. Like, he doesn't want to do anything else other than find the pitch, hit the ball, and go on his way.
Yeah, the mechanics, it's very detailed.
You know, some hitters, they fidget with the way they stand, they play with their gloves, they step back, they call time, they do. Corey Seager will stand there, and there's, I mean, like a three-pitch at bat.
Yeah.
Foul one off, foul another one off. Maybe a strike three looking kind of a thing. And then you could see him go back. But rarely do you see him just completely. Now, he's had some in the playoffs. He had some walks. I remember him walking quite a bit. Maybe that's a, but it just seems like to me he agonizes standing there. And then when he gets, and then you see the swing and you're like, gosh, how beautiful is that?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean,
like
they
Will
say,
Clark reminds me, I mean, that's from my era of a left-handed stick. That's, you know, that just that swing that was just so beautiful. And when it made contact, it was going to all, you know, had a little power, a little pop to it.
Mm-hmm.
But it was a base hit here, double here, you know, one the opposite way here. I just wonder if he just deals with that in a way of like, man, I don't want to be here any longer than I have to be.
No,
here.
There's a lot of that. Like the text is pointing out, he doesn't want to be the center of attention. He doesn't want anyone watching him. It's an insecurity. You know, I don't know exactly what it is, but there's a lot of detail in that story where he doesn't even want to talk about himself because then it becomes a topic and it distracts him away from his obsession with the swing. And, you know, I think a lot of players, they get to a point where they're feeling good and then they just go out there and naturally play. Because, like, obsessing over all the details, but he understands that muscle memory is sort of evasive, you know, and anybody that's tried to repeat a golf swing two in a row, it's like, wow, how can I know exactly what I need to do, but I can't repeat it, right? So you get to a point where you feel comfortable, and you're like, okay, I can play natural now, I'm just swinging, I'm just having fun. He is in that mindset of trying to tweak every single at-bat, and I just find that fascinating. I don't know how that could be fun for anybody.
I know. He is definitely a unique breed with the way he attacks it. There's like an OCD nature to it.
Maybe that's it.
And he wakes up every morning, as you said, with just it's a brand new day, and we're rebuilding this swing from top to bottom every single day. And he carries around, and they mention it in the story, and you see it anytime if you're around the team. It could be spring training, it could be a game day. When you're around the clubhouse, you'll see Seager walking in and around, and he's got his little tripod with his camera because he is obsessively doing his swings. He's videoing them and he's watching them, and the story reads that his swings, like, he's got clips that go all the way back into like his minor league days where he wants to, I mean, he just has all of that, and it is a crazy obsession. And the swing, he says, like, you know, some guys would rather like give them the option, have the perfect swing or know what pitch is coming. He's like, give me the perfect swing every time. Yeah. And I saw that too. Interesting. He's got a 20/20 vision is like the standard, right? Or for like pretty perfect.
Perfect. Yeah.
He's 20/12.5.
Dang.
So like his vision is absolutely ridiculous, which obviously helps him. And I just thought that was a fun little nugget in there. But yeah, he'd rather have the perfect swing. He's worrying about him. He's like, if I handle what I got to handle with my swing, I don't even need to worry about what this pitcher's trying to do to me right now.
Yeah, yeah. And there's this great story in there where he's still with the Dodgers in 21, I think, and he's facing this guy who, like, hadn't given up a home run in, like, 2 years with this rising fastball high in the zone. And as the story leads into it, Corey Seager was ready for it because he also uses this intensity and preparedness to look at film and study guys. And guy threw him a first pitch, high fastball, and he put it out.
Yeah.
And the people in the ballpark that understood how difficult that was were just marveling at, you know, his ability to do something that literally nobody else in the sport had been able to do for 2 years.
Crazy. And you talk about, he says, this is a quote from Seager in the story, as much as I hate the mental grind, I love going in there and fixing the puzzle. I think that's what draws me back.
Huh.
So I do hate the mental grind of this, but also just I have this desire within me every day to treat my swing like a puzzle, and every little piece matters so much, and yeah, it's as detailed as anything in all of sports.
It's like an extreme growth mindset where he doesn't believe in the talent at all. All of my success is a result of my hard work, right? And that's why I'm great. And people that have that mindset in sports get higher than the guys who just know they were, you know, born to do something.
Yeah, yeah, because he talks about like being uncomfortable in the box at times. And it's really, I mean, it's the fear of failure is something that really drives him. But if he doesn't feel prepared, and he's like Mr. Overprepared.
Yeah.
But he's like, there's no worse feeling than being in a bad spot in a major league batter's box. And I like the context, I believe, is just the bad spot being like not prepared and just slightly off your game, not dialed in to the point that he usually is. Now all of a sudden you find yourself in the batter's box, even as Corey Seager, and he describes it as there is no worse feeling. He says, knowing you're in a bad spot, not being able to compete, you're just by yourself. It's an empty, bad place to be. You have no chance. These guys are way too good and nobody's coming to save you.
Wow. The article, ESPN.com, Tim Kirkchin, if you want to dive in there. If you don't, my recommendation is if you see Corey Seager out in public, like, do him a massive favor and leave him alone.
Yes, dude. Yes, locally here, like, he talks about times where, I don't know, I guess this was when he was in Los Angeles, and it was like he didn't feel like he could go out. He was just staying inside constantly until his wife finally was like, no, hey, we're going out, and you're going to just figure out how to deal with the level of fame that you have and if people are coming up or whatever it is, because we can't just be stuck inside all the time. But that was like, that was his reaction to being famous, being noticed, and he wants nothing to do with it.
Okay, what else do we have here with our couple of minutes remaining in this round trip or Chiafalo?
Well, I do have a couple of baseball clips here, and we will start. Remember yesterday we had Pete Fairbanks. This was the Rays closer.
He sucked.
Yeah, this was the suck fest that he described. I had some Tolos reach out to me and point me in the direction of another clip from him after a blown save from last week. And so this is our guy, Pete Fairbanks of the Rays. This is him last week. He was upset. I believe he's upset at slippery balls.
Pete, just can you kind of run through what was going on in the ninth inning? It looked like maybe you didn't like some of the balls that were coming in.
Yeah, they were horrible. You can mark that down, all caps for me. Horrible. No excuse, though. Didn't throw strikes, and that's what happens when you don't throw strikes. You get punished for it. So I'd love to see those come out of the humidor tomorrow in a little better shape before they get rubbed up. But, you know, that's nobody to blame but myself for not being able to adjust to some of the quality issues.
Dry or not smooth, or what was the issue?
Just overall bad. I'm not going to elaborate further than that. They were not uniform from ball to ball, so there's no, I mean, dry, smooth, whatever you want to say. Just non-uniform, didn't feel right.
It just make it tough for you to grip and kind of get the ball where you want it to go?
Yeah, it's tough to throw your slider when the ball goes that way out of your hand, so...
Yeah. You could make this in bold, please. He's doing some editorial advice there to the reporter. By the way, when you write this, make sure that's in all caps. Maybe underline it as well for the people.
Does Pete do a pretty good thing about blaming and then also blaming
accepting
himself?
Yeah.
Yeah, he's kind of he's like, it's a terrible situation I'm in, but you know, it's my fault. I can't.
I gotta adjust. I gotta
yeah.
be better.
Yeah. So it seems like to me he's attacking and then kind of retreating all in the same time.
Well, let's check in with Mikey B on the Bally's broadcast. We're gonna play this sound and just ask yourself: did Mike think that with Bally's they also participated in Masterpiece of the Week?
I'd love for him to get on his hands and knees right now and fill in the holes with the dirt like Fidrich used to do, and maybe talk to the baseball for a second.
Yeah.
That was yesterday.
Okay.
And I believe there were a couple. There were a couple of moments. That's the one that we were able to grab there. Mm-hmm. But Baskey doing his thing. I genuinely think he was like, I'm out on KNC all week.
Yeah.
I always win Masterpiece of the Week. How can I give myself an opportunity? It's just the competitor within Baskey, and I do respect that. And it looks like the Rangers have called up their number 9 prospect, Mr. Owen White.
Yes, sir.
And they have optioned Jack Leiter.
Yeah.
So,
get the guy some hand warmers too.
Is that what just,
I think it was cold in Detroit. I don't know.
It was chilly. Okay.
Checking with sand.
I didn't know if it was like maybe a bit balmy and like it was like making his hands get clammy or something.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I mean, we just heard Fairbanks. You don't want a slippery ball.
No.
Yeah.
Not if you're trying to throw that slider.
That would explain a lot though. You know, if he was dealing with a little something extra.
Yeah, yeah. So we got to get that cleaned up. But Jack Leiter now back down, and Owen White will be up for some protection and I presume some length out of the bullpen.
Right on. Looking forward to that. A proper round tripper brought to you by our friends at Uber Eats.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, O'Reilly!